Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. How much do you really press into Jesus with regard to the situations going on in your life? In Psalm 88, this incredible and wise man, Haman the Ezrahite, declares, quote, O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn to truly press into Jesus in all circumstances and situations that come into our life.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas and just came back from Bible study, and again, another good Bible study. I've said this before. Hopefully, you're in a good Bible study. Now, if you listen to these teachings are set up so that you will enjoy a really good Bible study, a time really studying the Word of God, because that's what's going to change us. But the Kingdom D guys, we had Bible study this morning. We have it every Tuesday morning. We meet upstairs in a really nice grocery store. And we have wonderful fellowship. Everyone is welcome. It was just a good time of really going through one particular psalm. We studied Psalm 88 today, which is just an incredibly powerful and deep. It's really a psalm of grief. It's a psalm of this incredible wise man. His name is Haman the Ezrahite. And he was one of the chief worship leaders appointed by David. And the scripture says that he was one of the most wise men in all the world. It goes on to say in 1 Kings 4, 30 and 31, it says that Solomon was even wiser than him, which is to say he was recognized as a man of incredible wisdom because Solomon is said to be the wisest man to ever live. Now remember, Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is fully God and fully man, so he knows everything. So you can't compare anyone to Jesus. But as far as a human being, Solomon is said to be the wisest man that ever lived. And Haman was so wise that it says, when talking about Solomon's wisdom, he was even wiser than they were. Matter of fact, let's turn there. Let's read 1 Kings 4. 30 and 31. 1 Kings 4, 30 and 31. It's speaking about Solomon's wisdom. I'll actually start in verse 29. And I don't know how far I'm going to read, but verse 29, speaking of Solomon's wisdom. This is 1 Kings chapter 4. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Verse 30, Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. Verse 31, he was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Haman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. So I'll stop there. You see this overwhelming wisdom that God gave Solomon, and it's you see that Haman is mentioned here as a man of immense wisdom, because it says that Solomon's was even greater than his. Now, why do I say that? Let's go back to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is a psalm it's a heavy psalm. It's somewhat unique because Haman is going to pour out his lament, but he's going to do it with such meaning, such purpose, such intentionality, such wisdom, such reason. He's going to do it out of such relationship. And it's a picture of what deep intimacy with Jesus really looks like. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you for our Bible. We thank you that we have Psalm 88, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the fellowship with the brothers in Bible study this morning. Father, but above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so turn to Psalm 88, and it would be good for you to read this psalm. Read it and think about it. This is what we were talking about in Bible study today. Wash yourself in this psalm. Try to get yourself to a place where you can really understand the heart of this author, Heman. All right? If you go to Psalm 88, you should see a heading there that says, A Song, a Psalm of the Sons of Korah, for the director of music, according to Mahalath, Leonath, a Maskil of Heman, the Ezraite. Okay? And so when you do some Bible research, and we already read who this man was, he's a man of tremendous wisdom, a man who would minister before the ark, a man that David appointed, obviously because of his tremendous wisdom and his heart for Jesus, his heart for the Lord. And when you look at this psalm, it's, you know, it's 18 verses. It's just a man that's really pouring out his heart to the Lord and pressing into the Lord. And it's a picture of what wisdom looks like for us. We often don't think of wisdom as earnest and passionate prayer of prayer, of crying out to the Lord, or just having conversation with Jesus. But here's a picture of a man just having real conversation with Jesus. And the reason it's here is so when we look at that, that we would begin to more and more have real, intimate, passionate conversation with Jesus. So I'm going to start reading in verse 1, Psalm 88. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves, Selah. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you, Selah? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry out for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Verse 14, why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. Wow. So again, this is Psalm 88. And again, I'm encouraging you, please go and read and reread this psalm. You get a picture of a man who's just, again, knowing that this is one of the wisest men in the world, one of the wisest men there's ever been. You got to go to Solomon to find a person wiser than this man. And yet we see wisdom here expressed in just earnest, passionate prayer, consistent prayer. There's so much in here, but when you're going through trouble, when you're going through difficult times, you notice he says in verse 3, "For my soul is full of trouble." He is overwhelmed with trouble, and he believes that he's close to death. He's struggling so bad. And from that place, he wakes up in the morning and he brings his pleas before Jesus. Now, this is something we want to learn to do. We want to learn to do it when we're in tremendous joy. We want to learn to cry out to him and praise him and thank him and worship, Jesus when things are good. And like Haman, we want to begin to do this more and more when we're in difficult times, not only for ourselves, but on behalf of others. What's important to understand is that in his wisdom, Haman understands where all this is coming from. Do you truly understand? Do I understand that our God is a triune God. He's one being. Okay, that's what he is God. But he's made up of three distinct individual persons: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Each person of our triune God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, full-blown God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit are all-knowing, all-powerful, and omnipresent. Therefore, whatever your situation is, good or bad, they have either caused it, one of them or the three of them corporately have either caused it or they have allowed it. And when you're all-powerful and you know everything, which means you could stop anything, there really isn't a whole lot of difference. The line is kind of blurry, okay? If I've used this before, if you have the power, let's say a baby is sitting in the middle of the street and you look down there and you could see like a half mile away a car coming and the baby's just sitting there playing and there's no one around, I mean, obviously you would feel compelled to walk over, pick the baby up, and move it out of the street where it could be killed. If you did not move that baby, if you just sat there, saw the baby, no one else around, and just watched a car come or a truck come and hit, run over and kill that baby, it would be unthinkable, right? Meaning, again, there was no danger. You just chose. Now, you're a human being. You and I are not all-knowing. You and I are not all-powerful. You and I don't know the beginning to the end. You and I would feel absolutely compelled, 1,000%. Now, again, I'm taking fear out of the equation. What do I mean by that? Obviously, if you had to race across because a car is 20 feet away, pick up the baby, now there are other things, okay? All of us wish we would do that, but there'd be the fear of getting hit. I'm using an analogy here where there's no danger at all. You just choose to leave the child in the way of danger, that you could have easily moved the child with absolutely no danger to yourself. Because our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit are all knowing, they know everything, which means they can't learn anything. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit are all powerful, they can do anything. All knowing, they know everything, which means they can't learn anything, and omnipresent everywhere at all times. They have understanding and insight infinitely past what we could ever have, because we know that sometimes babies do get run over. I remember, I forget the people, but somebody, you know, this is probably 25 years ago, 30 years ago, that you know, a wonderful couple was backing out of their driveway, and the baby was playing there, or something had happened. I don't remember how it happened, but you know, someone ran over the baby and killed it. It's unthinkable, right? And it was an accident, and everything, you know, turned out to, you know, it wasn't even the fault of the people. I forget how it happened, but the point is, the Lord could have chosen that not to happen. The Lord could have chosen for those people to be able to see that baby, but somehow the Lord either allowed or caused the circumstance. We don't know. It doesn't mean we're not responsible for our actions, but he caused the circumstance to allow that baby to be killed. And obviously, not, we know it's an utterly unthinkable situation. All of us would just, were horrified by the idea that that could happen. And again, as I remember the story, it was not the parents' fault that this had happened. Something had come about. I don't know how it had come about, but they weren't to blame for it. And again, I may be missing the details, but the point of this story is that our Heavenly Father could have moved that baby. Out of either of these stories, the one I made up, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit know that the baby's coming. And yet they choose to, at times, allow these bad things to happen. Now, we don't know. We are not in the position. We need to go pick up and move that baby every single time. But our Heavenly Father will often allow it at times to be hurt or to be killed. But what we need to understand is we don't have all knowledge. We don't know why it is. But let's say that baby was going to grow up and just live a horrible life of suffering, whatever the suffering was. The baby was going to live an entire life. It was going to grow up to be a child and a human being that would suffer immensely, that would just be so troubled, that would be terrible, or would grow up and be driving in a car and somehow kill, you know, five or six people while he or she was driving. Again, we don't know what it is. We won't know till we get to heaven. But the Lord in his omniscience, if he knows that baby is going to live an utterly miserable, sad, and life of pain, and if he chooses to spare that baby, well, with that insight now, you know, the baby died instantly when the car hit it. We could see that, you know, that why the Lord would allow that. Now, again, we don't know the reasons. Of course, we see a beautiful, innocent child. Man, we're going to take it out of the street. Why do I say all that? I said all that because you remember what I said. When you're all-knowing, all-powerful, and omniscient, the line is kind of blurry between you causing something and you allowing something. Because in a thought, Jesus can move that baby, right? We remember Charlie Kirk was killed, okay? When Charlie Kirk had that bullet, you know, kill him instantly, he went before Jesus, and Jesus wasn't surprised by that. Jesus didn't say, man, Charlie, I didn't see that coming. I'm sorry that I let that happen, okay? Certainly the Lord allowed it, okay, because he wanted Charlie Kirk home with him. The Lord could have moved the bullet in a thought. The Lord could have moved the heart of the killer in a thought, but he chose not to. Now, it's important to understand the killer is still responsible for his evil. What I'm trying to show you is that this man, Haman, as you heard me read, fully understands that the Lord is the ultimate reason for his problems. Now, it doesn't mean that if we live in disobedience, we don't have, you know, there are not consequences to that. I'm really pressing into this because this is a foundational principle of wisdom, is that when you cry out to the Lord, you know that he knows what's going on. You know that he's either caused your situation or allowed it. And again, if he's allowed it, that means he could have stopped it, which means he wants you to continue to go through it. And so this is all wisdom of why you know and how you want, what you want to understand when you're pressing into him. Right. Look at what he says in verse 6. Haman says, you have put me in the lowest pit. Now, remember, he starts out, O Lord, the God who saves me. Verse 1, day and night I cry out before you. Verse 2, may my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Down to verse 6, you have put me in the lowest pit. He's in such despair. He's in such depression. He's in such angst. And this is one of the wisest men ever, one of the most godly men ever. And the Holy Spirit moves on him to pen this psalm or the journal, these 18 verses, so that you and I will have them. Here's a man, if when you get to heaven, that who can relate if you're going through sadness or depression or fear. He says, you have put me in the lowest pit. Look what he says. Look what he says in verse 15. From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. He's just emotionally moved. The biblical authors, Job and this man, you could see that the emotional or the mental suffering is far worse than physical suffering. He says, verse 16, your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. He's fearful. But he's going to the Lord. He's bringing it to Jesus. Again, your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. Now, maybe, yes, the Lord is allowing the devil to move on his life. We don't know what the circumstances are. Even if you yourself, you know, the guys will often say that, you know, that we're in a difficult circumstances because we've made poor decisions or poor choices, or we're not feeling well because we have not taken care of our body. We haven't exercised. We haven't eaten well. You know, and certainly there are consequences to making poor decisions in anything. There's no doubt about that. The Bible is clear. Any sin that we're living with comes with consequences. But we need to know that in Jesus, even then, he controls the limit of the consequences. And you can see that this man, Haman, knows this adroitly. It's clear to him where his suffering comes from. Look at verse 8. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. So again, even in this time of despair, his closest friends don't want to be around him. Now, again, it could be, as Stephen said in Bible study, you know, it was a good observation. It could be because his wisdom is so profound that they can't bear it. Maybe his friends don't want to hear all this that he's declaring. Maybe the truth is too much for him. We don't know. We're not told. But we know that for whatever reason that the Lord has removed his closest friends to them. And that seems hard, y'all, because when you're going through a difficult time, whatever it is, I know I myself, you know, want to talk to people. You want to talk to people you trust. You want to share your heart. You want to share what you're going through. And everyone should have those people to talk to. But we ought to be crying out to the Lord again, day and night. Verse 1 and 2, O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Verse 6, you have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your ways. So what you want to understand, whatever it is you're going through today, whatever blessings are being poured in your life, whatever difficulties are coming into your life, they've come to you either by the hand of Jesus, either he's caused it or he's allowed it. And it's important we understand that if it's in your life, he has determined that you are able to bear it. There's an incredible scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Paul says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So here is a promise from Scripture that whatever you're going through, whatever your situation is, whatever your physical circumstances are, whatever your emotional or mental circumstances are, the Lord is aware of it. And it's come either again by his cause or by his allowance. But it wouldn't be there. It's not there by accident. Again, it's not there so that, you know, you could tell the Lord you can't handle this. He knows you can handle it if you're in it. And again, back to Psalm 88, you want to have this heart that you see in this man, Haman, to really press into Jesus more and more and more and more. Verse 8, you have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. Look at how real he is. Do you see the level of just really trying to deeply express his heart? Again, get down on your knees before Jesus. When you're in your car, when you're on your break, take a walk, but begin to really share your heart. Share the good things, but have conversation. Do you have conversational prayer where you're just pressing into Jesus that you may know him and sharing your heart with him, sharing your difficulties with him, sharing the things that you enjoy with him? You want to begin to do this more and more. Do it 5 times a day, 10 times a day. Do it throughout the day. Again, it'd be better to do it 20 times for a minute than once for 20 minutes. Verse 9, my eyes are dim with grief. He's just weary, but he keeps going before Jesus, keeps asking, keeps seeking, keep knocking, right? Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep pressing in. Because it's your heavenly Father. Go to your heavenly Father. Go to Jesus. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to each person of your triune God. Don't go to generic God. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you want relationship. You want it to be personal. There is no personal relationship with the generic being God. It's only in biblical Christianity that the Bible teaches us that our God, the being, is made up of three individual persons, and it's only with a person that you can have personal relationship. You're a human being. That's what you are. But no one has relationship with you as a human being. People don't walk up and say, hey, human being. Hi, human being. No, you have intimate personal relationship with your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend. You know, what you are as a human being, who you are is Bob or Tom or John or Stephen or May or Kristen or Lauren or Corinne. It's who you are. It's with your person that you have personal relationship. So go to your heavenly Father. You know, pray, Father, heavenly Father, go to Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, Jesus. Go to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, and begin to cry out to each person of the Trinity at different times throughout the day. Begin to thank them and praise them. Again, you can pray to your heavenly Father. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. You can pray to Jesus, always in and through Jesus, right? We pray in Jesus' name, which means we're praying according to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. To pray in Jesus' name means you're praying according to the merit of Jesus, based on what he's done. You're basically saying, you know, heavenly Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name because I can't approach you in my own name. You don't pray in your own name. You don't pray and say, I pray all this in the name of Tom or Bob or Mike, right? We pray in the name of Jesus because it's in Jesus that our heavenly Father or Jesus Christ, our Lord, or the Holy Spirit even hears our prayers. So again, begin to go to them. Verse 13, but I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Verse 14, why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? So again, we can go on and on. This is so much. But do you see how honest he is with Jesus? Be transparent with your heavenly Father when you press into him and cry out to him. Be real. Be transparent. Tell him what's going on in your heart. Tell Jesus. Tell the Holy Spirit. Tell your heavenly Father. Begin to press into him and cry out to him more and more. Again, just do it throughout the day and you will begin to see your relationship with Jesus grow deeper and deeper, and you will be comforted, because again, your Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, they know what you're going through. They wouldn't put it in your life or allow it in your life if you couldn't handle it. And they are looking to use it for good, right? Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So no matter what you're going through, even if it's come about, you know, by your own bad choices, go before Jesus, repent, and continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock, and they will move. They will answer you. Study Psalm 88. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you that we have this incredible Bible, Father. We thank you that we can go to you, Father. We can go to you, Lord Jesus. We can go to you, Holy Spirit. We can share our life with you. We can press into you. We can cry out to you. We can share our heart with you. Help us to do this more and more, Holy Spirit. Seal this to our hearts, we pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we honor you. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.